Welcome to this Happy Husband University podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane, and today you will hear part two of my conversation with internationally recognized sexual therapist Dr. Cliff and Joyce Penner. They'll show you what to do if you or your spouse is struggling with pornography. Plus, you'll learn the power of kissing and a tried and true formula for intimacy, all on this podcast about being sexually free. Well, if you heard the first part of this interview, you know the Penners aren't afraid to tackle the subject of sex. In fact, that's what they do best. So if you have children listening, you may want them to play somewhere else in the next few moments. I'd also encourage you to listen to part one of the podcast if you were not able to do that, about being sexually free with the Penners. Dr. Cliff and Joyce Penner have spent thousands of hours counseling couples with sex problems, so they are truly experts in this area. Later in the podcast, the Penners will give you their formula for intimacy, but for right now, we begin by talking about a very difficult and destructive topic, pornography.
In your practice, if you see a lot of people who are struggling with porn, and then once they say, yes, I want out, what are a few things that they can begin
by doing?
Okay,
yeah.
Well, first of all, the big answer is absolutely.
Yes,
we could keep one person full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Just dealing with that.
And obviously, mm-hmm. we only get a small portion of the people who are struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giant. And the reason it's so giant is it used to be that if you wanted to get into porn, you had to go to that sleazy bookstore down on the trashy part of town.
Yeah, you had some barriers.
Yeah. And now it's on every computer on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to it whether you want to or not.
Right.
Many times it just pops up. So
right.
People who are vulnerable and susceptible.
And a lot of it's even free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. It's the lazy man's way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because
doesn't take anything.
You don't have to please the woman.
Right.
You don't have to.
She's screaming in delight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just keep flipping till you find the woman doing what you want her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that turns you on. And so it is a totally non-intimate, mm-hmm. selfish event that asks nothing of the man.
Yeah.
And I think what's happened is a lot of that mentality has transferred into that's what the married woman should try to do for the man.
Right.
The very specific help is clearly coming to the place of accepting mm-hmm. that there is no way that he is going to be able to manage this by himself without some outside help.
Right, right.
That's the first thing. It's like the AA, the alcoholic. The
mm-hmm.
first step is admitting that you're powerless.
Right.
And you can usually help men admit that when you say, okay, how many times, if these are Christians,
mm-hmm.
how many times have you prayed for forgiveness for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times did you say you weren't ever going to do it again? Just about that many.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed, has it? No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you are helpless to deal with this by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one. And then step two is, so let's do what we can to manage this here in our home. One, it means we'll put protections on the computers. Two, we will always go to bed at the same time. Because
mm-hmm.
most of the time, unless the husband is home while the wife is away or on a different work schedule, most of the time this stuff happens after the wife goes to bed.
Right.
Three, we will always have the computer facing the door
mm-hmm.
rather than your
turning
away from the door.
Sure.
And the wife will have all passwords.
Well, and the other thing now that can be done, because it's not just the computer now, it's the iPad.
Right, the phones and everything.
iPhone.
Yeah.
So it's a lot harder. Those things are good protections for the computer.
Right.
But what a lot of the groups are doing now is the guy has an accountability partner who every time he goes to one of those sites, it will alert.
Well, he goes to any site.
It will alert this accountability partner
mm-hmm.
that he has gone to that. So there are whole programs for working on this, Celebrate Recovery, which started at
Saddleback
here in California, like SA groups, sexual addiction groups, or SAA, sexual addiction
Anonymous. But the simple thing is, he's going to need to have the, the hedges up mm-hmm. in his home and on his electronics.
Right.
He's going to have to be straight with his wife. He's going to need some kind of a support group, and he is going to need somebody that he is accountable to. If you want a simple
right.
four-item outline, and this isn't Cliff and Joyce Penner's idea.
No.
Mm-hmm. This is pretty much accepted.
I wanted to ask you both personally, because here you are, 48 years married. What are things that you have done through the years that have kept your sexual relationship, you know, healthy and strong?
Well, I think, first of all, it really helped. We have our book, Getting Your Sex Life Off to a Great Start,
mm-hmm.
and it helped that we had good preparation
yeah.
before we got married from a class that I took and shared all the information with Cliff.
Yeah.
And
so before we knew anything.
Before we had any, you know, just we were innocent and naive. And,
yeah.
And so we got it off to a great start, which mm-hmm. was good. And then Cliff, without doing it so intentionally, is naturally the kind of guy who brings out the best in me.
Yeah.
And
this can sound braggy, but I am an adoring husband.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have lots to adore. So,
yes.
it makes it easy, but
right.
but I am, and we really experience the fact that there is nothing
mm-hmm.
that turns on a woman more than adoring husband.
Yeah.
When we wrote The Gift of Sex, we took a year off.
Way back.
Yeah, in 1979
and,
yeah. 80. And we took every Thursday to write.
Uh-huh. We had young kids then, so it was perfect because they were preschool or school, and
yeah.
and we had the day to ourselves.
Well,
we always
when
said
they were gone
us,
to school, yeah, it took us so long because we had to practice so much.
Because we had the day blocked out free from kids and from anything else. So the best thing that we used to always say is being intentional about it and blocking out time for yourself.
Right.
Not that has pressure or demand, but just that it's free of all those distractions. As we got into the field quite early in our lives,
mm-hmm.
Just talking about it, learning about it, having fun with each other with it, and having fun times like we have our formula for intimacy, which we have in The Way to Love Your Wife,
mm-hmm.
where we encourage, and we think this is so key, this is one of the keys, is taking 15 minutes a day to connect,
mm-hmm.
not to have sex, but to stay connected, because when a couple is, the woman has to feel the connection
mm-hmm.
if she's going to open up sexually,
mm-hmm.
and she may have to lead in this 15 minutes a day. It isn't
because guys don't want to talk.
Right.
And we always, people always think when we teach a sex seminar that they won't have any problem, the churches won't have any problem getting couples there because every guy will drag his wife there.
Mm-hmm.
Not so.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do it, but they don't want to attend a seminar
to talk
on
about it.
Talk about it.
Right.
So, but anyway, if again, this is one area where she can lead, not expect him to do this, but make sure they have 15 minutes a day, and we include in that having face-to-face intimacy where they look into each other's eyes, and the brain research now shows that when couples look into each other's eyes, they build that attachment
mm-hmm.
chemistry that makes the shift from that newness sex that we were talking about earlier that grabs you and zaps you, that's dopamine-driven,
yeah.
to that deeper attachment that lasts a lifetime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so look into each other's eyes. And it's so interesting, even when we were teaching a marriage tune-up this weekend at our church, and when we said that, and then we gave couples a chance to talk afterwards,
right.
I'd say about half of them turned their chairs to each other and actually looked into each other's eyes,
yeah.
and the other half sat side by side and shared.
Oh, sure, right, right.
So it's not something a lot of couples learn to do.
Right.
And so that's one thing that she can lead in that.
Yeah.
And just share an affirmation of each other
mm-hmm.
and something positive that you thought about for the
yeah.
day. You know,
yeah.
just literally 2 minutes of sharing, whatever it's going to take.
Right.
And then read a Bible verse so that connection bonding with each other and then together with God,
mm-hmm.
read a Bible verse or a little devotional
mm-hmm.
or the parrots have Soulmates, little book that works, little flip calendars kind of thing.
Yeah.
Read something together and then have a prayer if that's comfortable
mm-hmm.
and then end with 30 seconds of passionate kissing.
Mm-hmm.
And the kiss, 20-second hug, which also increases the bonding, and 5 to 30 seconds of passionate kissing. And the passionate kissing actually does trigger the dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So it does trigger the passion. And so many couples, the key, we believe, to keeping sex alive is keeping kissing passionately.
Yeah.
Most
daily,
couples.
Daily passionate kissing that is not designed to lead to sex.
Right.
Because, and this is where the woman can make, this would be great for the woman, because so often what happens is if he, let's say it is the stereotypical, more like you were saying, where the man wants it and she's not tired, not into it.
Right.
And he comes up to her and she's doing the dishes or putting the kids down or whatever, and he comes behind her to give her a hug and a kiss, and she turns the cheek because she goes through her head, now, should I kiss him?
Right.
If I kiss him, I'm going to lead him on.
Yeah.
And if, because he's going to think then I want sex tonight, and I don't know for sure whether I want sex tonight. So then rather than lead him on, she doesn't even give her chance herself the opportunity that that would, in fact, elicit that dopamine that would make her want to have sex tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she knows that we are going to kiss passionately every day, but it has nothing to do with whether I want sex tonight.
Right.
It has to do with that I want to kiss you passionately because I love you and it feels so good.
Right.
And it's going to keep my pilot light on so I can get more turned on a regular basis.
Right.
So I would say if there's one key we would leave it with is kissing passionately. And
that's
something that's been, we've loved kissing.
And
kissing
that's why you both look so young.
There you go. And the woman definitely can lead that, and it is rare that a man is going to say, oh, I hate kissing.
Right.
You know?
There are occasional.
Yeah, every now and then we get one, but
but
then they can work on that. But most of the time, the man would love more passionate kissing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has to understand that if she knows she can kiss him passionately, without it being a message that she wants sex, that she doesn't know whether she wants sex. It doesn't mean she doesn't want sex.
Right.
It just is not
itself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a separate entity. It is not the clue of whether or not she wants sex. It's just, I just want to really get in there and enjoy kissing you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that'll be so good for her and so good for them and so good for him.
And that clearly is something that the woman can lead in.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies, pucker up. Get those lips moving. Did you hear what the Penner said? Kissing is so good for you, and it's so good for him. So make it a goal to kiss your man passionately every day this week. Sometimes I think, you know, if you had to boil down my book into one action step, that action step would be kiss your spouse. Kiss your spouse for 5 to 30 seconds. That's what the Penners recommend every day. And let him know you love him, that you're interested in him physically, and that you want to keep that pilot light of love on in your marriage. Kissing your mate is the kind of habit that you want to practice throughout your marriage and not break as the years go by. Well, to hear more advice about having great sex in your marriage, 31 Days to a Happy Husband will give you more, and they will give you plenty of ammunition to have a closer relationship with your husband. Sex is often a taboo subject in Christian circles, but it is so needed to talk openly about sex. It's something God created, and it's something that can bring two people in a marriage together so strongly, or it can drive a wedge between them and cause a lot of problems. So you want to be in that first camp of having sex be like super glue between you and your husband. I wanted to share something that a reader wrote to me. She wrote, I grew up as a Christian, so the idea of talking about sex with anybody was always taboo. But when someone like yourself speaks up about what our husbands actually need, it opens our eyes to see that this is an actual need, and we are part of the plan to fulfill that in our husbands. So ladies, I'm an unlikely candidate to talk about sex, but I'm married and it's part of the package, so here we go. So I encourage you, take the dare, get 31 days to a happy husband and spend 1 month loving your man on purpose, and you will find that you will be happier as a wife and he will be happier as a husband. Dr. Cliff and Joyce Penner, along with many others, are featured in the book, so you can find it in your Christian bookstores or your regular bookstores or online. So I hope that that book will radically bless your home. Until our next podcast, remember, the best is yet to come.